it's a different kind of problem.
Alert me if it's getting ready to run down on my.
Put that up there so you can grab it.
It's getting ready to run down on my code. Good evening, everyone. Our first song selection is one that's not found in our hymnals. That song title is "O Come, Let Us Adore Him." O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Again, this song is not found in our hymnals.
He alone.
song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening is Count Your Blessings. This is song 118 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals this evening. Count Your Blessings, song 118. After this song, we'll go to God in prayer.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
My Heavenly Father, it's one of great wonders that we enjoy one of the great blessings tonight of being able to be here once again to worship you, the true and living God. Remindful many of our number do not have this privilege. We pray you bless them, help them. They can come back with it real soon. We continue to bless Sue Clark. We're glad she's home and hope she'll soon be able to be back at her pew beside Georgia. We pray for my nephew who is in the Vanderbilt Hospital, been diagnosed with cancer. We pray, Father, over the entire body. We pray you'll bless and help him in the treatments that come, that he's a young man. He can have many, many years ahead. Be with us all, Father. Help us. We're so glad that Jamie and wife had a safe trip and back with us safely. We pray that you'll bless and help us all as we go through life. Pray and give us a good week, Father, and keep our country free. And we always enjoy the blessings we have. And we always recognize you as our God. Forgive our sin and find us, save us. Give us a good day tomorrow. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Good.
Our next song this evening, I Know Whom I Have Believed. This is song 291 for anyone following along in our hymnals. I Know Whom I Have Believed. We'll sing verses 1 through 3 of this song, skipping the fourth verse.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to stood in against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may He reserve for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I believe in, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, the song that we will sing after our lesson this evening is number 674. There's a great day coming. Song 674, that's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing before our lesson, The World's Bible. This is song 648 in our hymnals. The World's Bible, song 648.
Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how He died. He has no help but to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given.
I think I'll just stay down here if it's all the same to you folks tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to bring a message from God's Word to you today or this evening. Brother Kurt Hale did a great job this morning. If you were listening, he did a really good job. I thought it was a needed message and one of encouragement. I think that was his main. Can you not hear me? Okay. I can step up there if I need to, or I can wear the headset.
Okay, I hear you.
Can you hear me now? All right. As I was saying, Kurt did a great job this morning, and it was kind of interesting that I think it was July 9th that Doug asked me if I could speak both the morning sermon and the evening sermon today while in his absence, and I agreed to do that. And then at 10:57 a.m. on July 10th, that was a Thursday, 10:37, it took me 20 minutes to respond. His first minute, 10:37 a.m., Kirk reached out to me and said, "Hey, heard you guys got a full-time preacher. That's great, and we're doing good, and wanted to let you know that I'm in a preaching rotation with four other men up here at Mount Carmel where we're worshiping now. And I just want to let you know that if you have an opportunity that you need a fill-in, I'd be happy to do that." And I said, "Well, it's pretty coincidental, but we do have an opening. You can help me." And he was glad to do it, and it was great to see him and Sarah and the children, and it was a great lesson. Good fellowship today, so that was good for me. And I'm certain it was good for you and all those who were listening. If you know me very well, you know I'm not afraid to take on controversial topics. Topics that I see permeating our culture, permeating our media, permeating the very lives, permeating, in some cases, even God's church. And so I'm not going to shy away from that again tonight. I'm going to take on a very controversial topic, but as so many things in life that are confusing, God's Word offers clarity and hope and truth and light. We live in a land, or living in a time of confusion. Very much confusion. The topic tonight is God created man and woman in His image. Despite what your news may tell you, despite what the pressures of politics or deceitful philosophers might tell you, God made man and woman, each distinct, each with a purpose, and each divinely created. The book of Genesis tells us that in the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." This is a very foundational truth that the world seems to be getting very confused about. God created male and female in His image. This truth carries purpose, design, and dignity. The moment God gave us this identity, the enemy begins to distort it. We're not just facing cultural debates today. We're facing spiritual deception. Satan's strategy is no different today than it was from the beginning. His strategy is to twist what God has made good, turning clarity into confusion. Notice in Genesis 1, the scripture there that we read, God doesn't say that we evolved into purpose or that we evolved into male and female, that we were some kind of homogenous person that, you know, divided. It says that he created us. He created us. Our identity is not random. It is divine and created with God's pattern and purpose in mind. Male and female reflect different attributes of God's nature, because God said, let's create man in our image, after our likeness. So both male and female are created in the image of God, having a living soul, an eternal spiritual being that will exist forever, that's given to us by God, and those who follow him will be redeemed into his heaven forevermore. These aren't just labels, man and woman. These are callings designed to flourish together. When men and women embrace their God-given identity, they fulfill unique purposes in relationships, in family, and in the church. These differences are not obstacles to be overcome. They're beautiful expressions of God's multifaceted nature and of his multipurpose. Right after creation came deception, shortly thereafter. In Genesis chapter 3, a lot of Bible versions will call that, they'll have a heading of that, the fall of man, right? Something like that. And it's true, that's what's described in there. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says about the serpent there, which we know was speaking through Satan's influence. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Genesis 3, 1. Jesus talks to some Jewish brothers there in John chapter 8. And he gives some descriptions there that they have Abraham as their father, etc. That, you know, God is their father. And he tells them that their father, because they were against Christ, that their father was Satan. And in chapter 8, let's see here, let me just read that for you. Verse 44, this is Jesus talking to those men who are opposing him. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of lies. God is the father of truth. Those two could not be more polar opposite. There is no more polar opposite than that. Satan began his role of the deceiver, the great deceiver, the father of lies, when God told Adam and Eve that they should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that when they did, they would surely die. Satan quoted that exact verse and added one three-letter word. You shall not. He just added the word not. Surely die. He began by questioning Adam and Eve about questioning God's word. Did God really say? That's what he did. Did God really say that? And then he added that not in there. You will not surely die. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. You'll know all this stuff. You'll be like God. Pretty tempting. Obviously, the temptation was great enough that they gave in. Mankind and our fate has been changed ever since. But God is good. He's a redeemer of the lost. He's a corrector of lies. He is a writer of wrongs. Today, those lies that Satan began telling are being told today in some very different parts of our culture, of our society, of our lives. They say something like, gender is a choice. Roles are oppressive. Truth is subjective. They'll use things like your truth, my truth, when with God, there is only the truth. Those tactics haven't changed. He twists truth. He sows confusion. He targets identity. Pay very close attention to this. It's not scriptural, but it is a scriptural thought. When you forget who you are, you forget whose you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the God of heaven. That's who you are. You are a child of God, created in His likeness, in His image. Don't forget that. Because that means you belong to Him. Today, culture is saturated with messages that blur the lines, redefine truth, and reject God's design. It's not just politics, it's spiritual warfare. We must not respond with fear, but with clarity and compassion. Our roles as Christians are not simply to hammer someone with the truth, to cause them to be dead. Our role is to be compassionate with those confused people because their souls are worth just as much as yours and mine. We're trying to win souls for Christ, not win a verbal battle that causes them to be lost. We want to win their soul, not just an argument. Jesus did not shy away from the truth, neither should we, but it must be delivered in compassion. Jesus told us plainly, Satan is a liar. His goal is to confuse, divide, destroy. But Christ gives clarity and life because He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That is true. And that's what we need to be telling those confused souls. God gave us roles in that design. He gave men and women distinct roles. If we didn't have distinct roles and distinct purposes sometimes, why would we need two genders? If you think about that, if their roles were exactly the same, if the purpose was exactly the same, if their things that they were to do, their duties were to be exactly the same, then why not just make one gender that could reproduce of itself? More clarity that men and women have distinct roles, distinct purposes that are meant to complement one another. For men, messages like, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, Ephesians 5:25. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, 5:23. Men are called to lead with a sacrificial heart, a sacrificial love, to serve, to protect, and guide, just as Christ laid down his life for the church. Things like, he must manage his household well, in referring to elders. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, leadership begins at home. Integrity, gentleness, godliness are what men are to lead with. That's to be their characteristics. For women, we can see scriptures like, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. This isn't about being inferior. It's about trust. It's about divine order. Modeled after Christ's love for the church. The church is submissive to the bridegroom, like Kurt referred to today. Women are to love their husbands and children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, and good. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. These are expressions of wisdom, nurturing, and influence. Yes, ladies, your influence is probably first felt most strongly in your children, both boys and girls. Proverbs verse 31, or chapter 31, verse 26 says this: she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. A godly woman brings strength, dignity, and care to every aspect of her home and community. These roles do not diminish a woman's importance. They simply dignify it. Although we have diverse roles as men and women, we are united as one in marriage and in Christ. When God created Adam, he said it's not good for man to be alone. So he created woman, not as a clone, not as a servant, but as a partner, a helpmeet, as described. Equally divine in her origin. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Genesis 2:18. This term helper is, I think it's of the same root word that is used to describe God's help to Israel. It implies strength, support, and partnership. Men and women were designed to walk side by side, not to stand toe to toe. But Satan sows rivalry, pride, and confusion. He divides what God has united. That's what he's been doing for millennia, since creation. Satan wants to break up your family. Satan wants to break up your marriage. Satan wants to break up our community, our church. He wants to divide, because when we are divided, we are isolated. And when we're isolated, we are weak. That's how lions eat. They don't go after the strong bull of the herd, the strong wildebeest. They get the herd to run to where the weak can't keep up. And that's the one they pounce on. They separate that weak, slow one, whether young or old, and kill it. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do to the church, to Christians, husbands and wives, and their families. cause there to be division, isolation, to where you're weak and vulnerable. In Christ, however, we have unity. The church should be the place where both men and women flourish in their calling, empowered by truth, not pressured by culture. We can restore our purpose, our identity through Christ. No lie is too powerful for Christ's redemption. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Through Jesus, the confusion of the enemy is broken. We are renewed, restored, recentered in the truth of how God made us, of God's purpose for both you and I. The church must be a place where people encounter clarity, not condemnation, but they are told the truth, to where they can walk confidently in their God-given identity and purpose. Jesus restores what was broken. He renews purpose. He reverses the lies of the enemy. Christ offers clarity, and his truth offers clarity in a world that's lost direction. He calls us back, not to just a tradition or an opinion, but to truth. Let's examine our own hearts. Ask ourselves these questions. Are we aligning our identity with God's design? Or are we letting culture redefine us? Are we honoring the role God has given us? Not out of just a duty. Duty is okay, but not just out of duty, but out of response to God's love toward us. What has God held from us? Nothing. He sent his son to give his life for us. So let us reflect that in serving the roles that we find ourselves in, whether it's in our families, our church, our community. Let's be a godly father. Let's be a godly wife. Let's be a godly business person. Let's be a godly county board member. A Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life is a truth-centered life. It peels away the layers of confusion and obscurity, and it shows forth light and truth to those that are lost in the fog. Are we equipping the next generation? That's a tough thought. Are we equipping the next generation to live boldly as men and women of God? In those roles, distinct yet equally important. In closing, the psalmist in Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you. This was also just happened to be a verse we used in my teen class this morning. The psalmist wrote, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David looked at himself, at his own body, and saw design and purpose. That purpose and design, how complex our bodies are, points to a designer, a creator. But that design and purpose isn't just a biological one. Although there are biological differences in men and women, we need to recognize that. Friends, we are not accidents. We are God's intentional creation. Male and female, distinct, treasured, and called. Day by day, we need to reject every lie that tells us something different than that. That way we can walk boldly in the truth of who God created us from the very beginning in our mother's womb. What God created us to be. Some of us get confused from time to time about who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. God has a place for you in His kingdom. A common salvation for all of mankind. You can be exactly who God wants you to be and serve the exact purpose that He wants you to serve, whether you're a man or a woman. God loves you. Sometimes we get confused about what truth is, about what sin is, and we become lost, wandering in the world of darkness, drug addiction, sexual promiscuity, drugs, alcohol, division of denominationalism, all kinds of things that we can get lost in. But God calls us to that common faith, that common name of Christian. And we do that by hearing the message of the gospel. That's what offers clarity, is hearing that clarion call from heaven of Jesus coming in the form of man, being God in flesh, living a sinless life, and then dying on the cross to offer that perfect blood sacrifice for each and every one of us. When we hear that message proclaimed to us, that can produce, if we allow it to, if our heart is that good, fertile soil that Jesus describes in the parable of the sower, then God's word sprouts in our hearts. And that's what we call faith. We now believe that Jesus is God's Son. We see that bridge between God and man, between heaven and earth. Jesus is that bridge, God in the flesh. He loves you. Even those who were persecuting Him at that time, piercing His hands and His feet, laughing and spitting on Him, He loved them. So if you're hearing my voice, you're hearing this message tonight, and you're thinking, God can't love me, Look at what I've done. Look at how I've lived. God's just going to ask you to put a period there. To change. That's who, what you've been doing. That's not who you are. That's just what you've been doing. And He loves you. He wants a relationship with you no matter what you've done. You're not too far from God's reach, no matter who you are or where you are or what you've done. God loves you and He wants that relationship. That's why He sent Jesus. So we hear God's word, we have that faith in us that causes us to have remorse. But not just a sorrow that we've, how wicked we've done, a sorrow enough to cause us to want to repent. And that means changing our minds of what we've been doing to changing our actions of what we're going to do. It's a change of mind followed by a change of life. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that we believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, that He came and lived an innocent life, was crucified, and that He was resurrected and is in heaven reigning now. Then we're baptized. We're baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26 and 27. That when we're baptized in Christ, the old man of sin dies, and up from that water comes a new creation, clothed in Christ forevermore. If you don't have a right relationship with God this evening, God wants you. He wants you bad. He wants that relationship. He doesn't want to get back at you. He wants to get you back. So if you have some kind of struggle tonight, God wants to know about it. And if we can help you, if it's something that you need to confess before your brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, we want to hear it. If it's something you need to make a profession of faith for the very first time and obey that gospel message, if you're not in our presence tonight, we encourage you to call our church building and we'll be glad to reach out to you and help you obey the gospel to where you can be called a child of God once again. Come as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Is there anyone here this evening that did not have opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper? Would you please be seated? We will sing together the song, Lamb of God. This is song 950 for anyone that would like to follow along in our hymnals this evening. Lamb of God, song 950. After this song, we will share together the Lord's Supper.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood till I am just a Lamb of God.
Would you bow with me? Righteous and merciful God, our Creator and our Father, we're humbled, Father, to come in your presence to realize your love and your compassion for mankind, your creation, that although we have sinned and aren't fit, Father, to stand before you, you've made hope once again ours, Father. You have restored what we forfeited. So we come to honor you and to honor your Son, Jesus, for that benevolent gift, Father, of redemption, for that love and that greatest of sacrifices, Father, that brought atonement to us. Bless your church now and always as we commune together. Father, help us to see in this bread that abused, that broken body, that flesh of Jesus that was tortured at the hands of men, that was left to die, that was spat upon, that was ridiculed, that was stripped of its dignity and shamed, Father, all for the gain of the very people doing that, for our gain. Father, glorify your Son as we commune together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Righteous God, we continue in thanks, Father, in remembrance of that blood, that blood wherein his life, and that life, Father, Jesus laid down for us. That blood has amazing cleansing power, and we contact that blood in baptism when we are your children forever, if we've obeyed your gospel. And we celebrate, Father, that blood by communing together, by honoring that great giving, by honoring that great gift that brought hope to us once again. Bless your church now and always as we commune. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, I'll ask Jamie Poe to dismiss us with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. Those who are traveling of our number, again, it's good to see Jamie back, and they had some challenging times, it sounds like, on their return, but we're glad you're here. My family might do some out-of-town stuff this week as well, I believe, and pray that you keep them in your prayers. I want to ask a prayer once again for my mother. I said she was getting better, and she was, in fact. And once again, the infection that was in her face has started to reemerge. And she's going to see the doctor, I think, tomorrow. Is that what she said? Yeah, tomorrow she's going back to see the doctor. And pray ask your prayers on her behalf, that the doctors might give her just what it is that she needs, and that she might receive it well. Many of our number are shut in. We need to encourage them, to let them know they're important to us, that we miss them. Let's just keep one another in our prayers, keep encouraging each other, knowing that that maybe even some of you are struggling with some things, and if we can help you, we want to be able to do that. Is there anything further that we need to make mention? I have not. Now, the seminar, the lectureship, whatever it's called, that polishing the pulpit, was to end tomorrow. And then after that, he was going to go to Arkansas. I misspoke this morning. He's in Branson right now. And then as soon as that concludes tomorrow, he's going to go down to Arkansas and spend a little bit of time there with his son, and then make his way back to us. So have not heard from him personally. Anything else? If not, let's go to our God in prayer.
Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, thanking you for the fine lesson that we had tonight by Brother David, that it's always good when you can hear a lesson from your word, and it's great that David can speak to us and send that message out in a way that we can understand it and that we can get something from it. Heavenly Father, be with the sick that's been mentioned here today. Be with Brother James's mother as she's going to the doctor and has an infection, that they can do something with that and get that infection healed up. Be with Sister Sue and the things that she's going through. Father, anyone that we've missed, just look after them and guard them and guide them, direct the doctors that are looking over them. Be with Doug as he's going through a seminar, polishing the pulpit, that he will learn some things there that he can bring back to the Harrisburg congregation and maybe put into his sermons and classes, that we can get something from that, and we'll all be able to benefit from the things that he has learned there this week. Be with him in his travels as he goes to see his family, that he'll be back here and in the pulpit soon. Father, be with this congregation and the things that we go through and trying to grow and spread your word, that we'll have fresh ideas and things that will reach the community and bring those in. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.